Who can read for us tonight? Chapter 25, section 3. Oh, Ernie, here you go. Ernie, read for us, please.
Unto this Catholic visible church, Christ hath given the ministry, oracles, and ordinances of God for the gathering and perfecting of the saints in this life to the end of the world, and doth by his own presence and spirit, according to his promise, make them effectual thereunto.
Now, we don't want to be teaching false doctrine here. What is the meaning of Catholic?
Universal.
Right. It's not Roman Catholicism, but it is the whole universal church. And we are not the whole universal church. We are a part of it, and everyone who is trusting in Christ's blood and relying upon Him alone for their salvation is a member of this great universal church. So tonight, we are going to think about the gifts that God has bestowed upon His church. The visible church, even in this 21st century, 2,000 years since the very beginning of the New Testament church. I'm not saying the church universal, but the New Testament church begun just about 2,000 years ago. We still have these gifts. Didn't Luther say in his great hymn, the Spirit and the gifts are ours. The gifts of ministry, the oracles, the ordinances of God for the gathering and the perfecting of the saints in this life to the end of the world. I want us to think about these gifts that the Lord has given to His church. If you notice in the Word of God, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now, in the church, in our time, praise God, we still have these gifts. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, and He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, I want to stop there just a minute. Do we have any apostles today? Now, an apostle is one that Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians is one who has actually seen the Lord and been sent especially by the Lord. And no man has seen physically the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, we have feasted our souls upon Him spiritually, but not any man in this age speaking truthfully can say, I have actually literally seen with my eyes the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. So there are no apostles today. And the prophets, these gifts, these extraordinary gifts that came with the establishing of the church, like the apostles and the prophets, have passed away, as well as the diversities of tongues. But there are evangelists. Some have a special gift of evangelizing, and some pastors and teachers. For what purpose? For the perfecting, for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Anybody here got there yet? Maybe you could give us some pointers. Well, we've not arrived at perfection yet. But thank God when we see Him, we're going to be like Him. So obviously in what the apostle was saying there in his epistle, when we see Him, we're going to be like Him. When we see Him as He is, we haven't seen Him exactly as He is yet. But thank God we're going to be brought unto that state of maturity, completion, perfection, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, to be like Him. How wonderful that will be. But the Lord has given the gifts to His church. The gift of ministry. The gospel ministry. The ministry is spoken of here as the first of these. Unto this Catholic visible church, Christ hath given the ministry. The ministry of the gospel. Of preaching. And how is this ministry conducted? It is under the power, under the control, under the converting, and under the calling of God the Holy Spirit in His power. Who's responsible for the ministry? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who converts, the Holy Spirit who calls, the Holy Spirit who controls the ministry of the church. Well, the Lord supplies and supports ministers for His church. Praise God for that. We are very thankful for the Lord answering prayer to supply a minister for the congregation out in Prince George, who have been without a preacher a little less than a year. Thank God that they're not having to wait a terrible long time for another minister. The Lord has called one to go there. Hallelujah. Well, we have the ministry. And then our confession says we have the oracles. Now, what is an oracle? Do you know what an oracle is? An oracle. The Holy of Holies in the Old Testament was also known as the oracle. Because there was the visible fire, the Shekinah glory of God. And it was from there that the spoken will of God was coming forth. The Lord would speak. Sometimes He spoke to Moses there in the tabernacle and revealed to him His will, speaking even from that holy oracle. An oracle was a place from which the very Word of God would come, the inspired Word. Well, we have the oracle. We have the inspired Word, the Scriptures of truth, the Word of the living God, the very oracles of God that gives to us, that reveals to us the mind and the will of God. The Word of God is still in the church. Praise God. So we have the ministry, we have the oracles, and we have the ordinances of God. Romans chapter 2 tells us, Romans chapter 3, I'm sorry, and verse 2 tells us that God has revealed and communicated His sovereign Word and sovereign will directly to His people. We have the oracles of God. They're not just those things that were given to the Jews, but they're ours. Praise God. Even though they were especially committed to the Jews, to them were committed the oracles of God. Thank God we have them. From the Hebrew and the Greek language, we have the very oracles of God. Now, the ordinances are God's ordained means, His methods of edifying His church. Now, what are some of these ordinances? Can you think of what His ordinances would be in the church? Baptism and the Lord's Supper, that's right. There's some more. We've been doing it tonight. Singing. There's a command. Singing the praises of the Lord. singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This is ordained by God for the edifying of His church. Worship. Worship not only through singing, but worship through prayer. Worship through prayer, praying, singing, praises, all of these things. And even the discipline of the church. The discipline of the church is a means. The discipline of correction is also an ordinance by which God's people are edified. We were singing about that. You remember? We were singing about that. How the Lord at times chastens us and brings us more into His way, even by His disciplining hand. Now, these means are designed to gather in the elect from the children of the church. But they're also to gather in those from the world that are lost. These means are rendered effectual by the presence and by the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit. According to His promise, He doth by His own presence and Spirit make them effectual. And you know, that is what we need to pray for. That is what we need to desire more and more, the presence and power of God in our midst to make the Word effectual. Now, I want to look at the second section right above that for just a moment. There's one little last part right on the end of that second section that I want to reiterate a little bit. Out of which there is no ordinary possibility of salvation. Out of the visible church, there is no ordinary possibility of salvation. Of course, we mean that adults dying out of the visible church. Adults dying out of the visible church are ordinarily lost. We're not going to say that every adult that dies outside the visible church is lost. But we are going to say with our confession that ordinarily adults dying out of the visible church are lost. Ordinarily. Thank God there are exceptions, but there is a general rule that those who don't care to be a part of the church, it tells that there's a heart problem. If people can live their lives in the world without having any concern for the church or for their own spiritual growth, for their own service of worship to the Lord in the church, let's understand. I agree with what they're saying, that outside the visible church, there is no ordinary possibility of salvation. But there are extraordinary circumstances at times. A.A. Hodge and many other Reformed theologians interpret the Scriptures believing that all dying in infancy, or all who are imbeciles, they are not mentally capable, are all saved through the merits of Jesus Christ. But adults dying out of the visible church are ordinarily lost. But God has never revealed in His Word that He will save sane adults that are destitute of the personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has never revealed in His Word that He will save sane adults that are destitute of a personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand that? Obviously, those who deny Christ shall not be saved, because Jesus has said it in Matthew 10 and verse 33. Any person who truly loves Jesus Christ will confess Him in some way before man. Ordinarily, this comes by joining a congregation or a community of believers. For some people, in some places, it's not possible. But think about this. Heathens living as heathens in heathen lands are lost souls. Otherwise, why would we send missionaries? If heathens living in lost country, in heathen countries, can be saved as they are without sending missionaries, then we would be criminal in sending missionaries. Because if they could be saved just by being good in those heathen lands, by being moral, upright people, surely there are some people like that. You would think it'd be nice people in some of these countries. If they didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were nice, upright people, and they could be saved without Christ, we would be criminals for sending missionaries. Because if they could be saved without that, and then we go and tell them the gospel, and they're guilty now because they know the gospel, then we would be guilty of leading them to destruction. If they could be saved without the gospel. But they cannot be saved without the gospel. So they need the gospel. You understand? There is no ordinary possibility of salvation outside the visible church. I'm not saying there's never been anyone saved outside the visible church. Thank God there have. But they are the exception rather than the rule. And we cannot base our lives on the exceptions. We must base our lives on the solid rules that God has given. Okay. Salvation is not limited to any particular church, to any particular denomination, but to all those who believe in salvation by Christ alone, through faith alone, by grace alone. The church, we're reading here, the church will endure to the end of the world. What are we reading? Unto this Catholic visible church, Christ hath given the gifts or given the ministry, oracles and ordinances of God for the gathering and perfecting of the saints in this life. Till when? To the end of the world. You believe that? That all the way to the end of the world, the Lord is going to have His people on this earth? There are people that don't believe that. There are people that say, well, you know, it's been a long time since there's been a true church on the earth, and you really are not that responsible because all these churches are just fakes, you know. They're not real, they're not true, so you're not responsible anymore because long ago the church has turned away from God and they're not true to Him anymore. So you can't find a true church on earth. There are many erroneous groups that teach that, and it's very sad. Well, the whole universal church, which has been upon the earth since the days of the apostles, the church is still on the earth. And I want to give you some proofs for that. And it's going to be this way to the end of the world. You can take God's word. You can take what Jesus said as the truth, because it is. What did Jesus say in the Great Commission? He said, I'm going to bless you. I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. The Greek word is ion, the end of the age. I'm going to be with you all the way to the end. Matthew 28 and verse 20. Very clear word from our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 16 and verse 18. Jesus said, upon this rock, speaking of Himself, Christ is the rock. Peter, in the Greek, is the Petros, a little stone. I'm glad to be a little stone on the great rock, the cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ, the apostle says. But Jesus said, upon this rock, speaking of Himself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, you would think by what some people say today, there's no true church anymore on earth, that the gates of hell had prevailed against the church of Jesus Christ. But it hasn't happened. Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail. I will build my church. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7, you remember what the Lord said there of His kingdom of grace? You know Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And you notice what happens right after that in verse 7 of Isaiah 9. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. There shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even until the year 2012. No, no, it didn't say that, did it? Unto the end of the world. The church is going to remain to the end of the world. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God promises He's going to carry His church right through the end. All right. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. Another proof that the church of Jesus Christ is still on the earth and that it will continue. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21. Unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. He's continuing His work. He's still here with us. In Isaiah 59, verses 20 and 21. I love this one. Isaiah 59, way over toward the end of Isaiah's prophecy. Verse 20 of Isaiah 59. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed. Now, isn't that something? What an expression. Or your seed's seed. You know, your children, your grandchildren. It's still going to be there, saith the Lord. How long? Well, you know, we probably going to run out of it here after a little while. You know, it's hard to find faithful people anymore. And people just don't do like they used to do, you know. And I think probably it's all going to play out. No, the Lord didn't say that. From henceforth and forever. Isn't that good? The Lord said He would continue His work. For you, for your seed, for the seed's seed, from henceforth and forever. So you think the Lord's going to throw in the towel and say, well, those people are so bad and mean and wicked down there, I'm just going to get rid of the church altogether. Well, you know, there are actually people that go on the radio and say, forget it, stay at home. There are no true churches out there anymore. And they call themselves preachers. And they're taking the people's money. And they're saying stuff like that. It's crazy. Jeremiah was telling me he was passing out tracts, talking to people on the street. And one of these guys came up to him. Forget it, buddy. All the churches are over with. God is finished. All the churches are false. You could forget going to one. There are 93 churches anymore. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Go by what God says in His Word. He's not quit. He's not given up. Unto this Catholic visible church, Christ hath given the ministry, oracles, and ordinance of God for the gathering and perfecting of the saints in this life to the end of the world. And doth by His own presence and Spirit, according to His promise, make them effectual thereunto. Well, praise God. We had a lady came here last week. Had a lady who came here today and said that they sensed the presence of God. in this place. Let us pray that that would be more and more a reality. What a blessing of the Lord to meet with Him and to meet with His people in the place of worship. It's a wonderful reality. And I can tell you this. I remember when I was young, I went to a lot of different kinds of churches. I've been to just about every kind, I guess. I didn't go to all the cults. I didn't just go, you know, say, I'm going to go down here and try the JWs and the Mormons and, you know, and the, all this false stuff. I didn't just go and check all those out. But I tried a lot of different kinds of churches. And what a blessing it has been to go into places where you know that the presence of the Lord is. Great blessing from the Lord. May the Lord cause us to know His presence. As we conclude this meeting tonight, we have concluded our study of chapter 25, section 3. And thank God, the church is not over yet.